The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, a month ago, January 1st, we started a journey together. And many of you came forward. If you weren't here that morning, I want you to know that the body of Christ came forward on your behalf. And we made a commitment to commit ourselves to this coming year to cultivate and grow in joy. We established the fact that it isn't like we really have a choice. What I mean by that is, well, we do. I guess we do have a choice, but the truth is, joy does not come by the circumstances of life, and if all the ducks line up in a row, I'll be joyful. No, joy is a fruit. It's not a gift. We established that. And as much as we know that we are charged to love one another and to be kind and to be patient, we should be joyful.
Yeah.
I mean, consider the alternative. What is the opposite of joy? I want to suggest it's hard-heartedness. It's ornery, it's crabby, it's, you know, we can say, well, things make me angry. No, they don't. No. You make you angry.
Yeah.
You choose to be angry. I can guarantee you any situation that would come up, if Pastor Dave was in the room, you'd do just fine. You'd be so nice. You would just, I mean, you know, you husbands and wives that go at each other. If Pastor Dave was in the room, it's like, oh, honey. It's like the woman who had the pastor over for coffee and was just visiting. And she said to her son, she said, Johnny, go get me that big, thick book that you see mommy reading all the time. So Johnny came back with the Sears catalog. Now, I realize some of you do not know what that is. But that was a really big, thick book. But no, the reality is we say, you know, this makes me angry or this makes me sad. But the truth is it depends on the conditions. And we can choose to be joyful. We can put on joy. We can put on kindness because it's the fruit of the Spirit. And it is not ours. We need to understand that it is fruit. It is fruit of the Spirit, capital S. It is the Spirit's fruit, but it manifests in me. It grows in me. And I am the place where it emanates from. You know, more than any of the other fruit, I believe that joy probably benefits the dispenser more than any of the other fruit. When we give out love, we are impacted to a degree, but those around us are probably impacted more. When we give out kindness, people are, which is fruit, are impacted probably more than we are. When we give out patience, probably people around us are more impacted than we are, although I think all those things work for the betterment of our health. It's healthy to be kind. Consider the alternative.
Yep,
but with joy, I want to suggest maybe more than anything else, when I'm joyful and when I choose to put on joy, I feel good. Do, 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 like I knew I would now. I mean, it feels good. And we can realize we can put on joy. We can choose to be joyful. And so that's what we committed to take more opportunities. And so over the course of the next few months, when I have opportunity to preach, I want to talk about joy because I think it's an important subject. I think we of all people should have a reason to be joy just because of the love that we heard sang about. It's one of the few, the love of God is one of the few constants in life. I like that line that said, I don't remember how it said it, but basically the minute you take it out of the store, it's obsolete. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Pretty familiar portion of scripture, probably for most of us. The Apostle Paul is writing. He's writing from prison, possibly in Rome, we don't know for sure. Probably under house arrest, not the more serious prison he was in later in his ministry. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Judea, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companions, keep this woman who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul is writing, and he's not writing into a vacuum. He's writing into the church at Philippi. And in the beginning, he addresses a conflict between two women. And he puts into practice verse 5, let your gentleness. He gently exhorts them to work it out. And he gently exhorts Clement to work it out. He writes to a companion there. We're not sure who it was. We know it's not Timothy, because elsewhere in the letter he says, Timothy, and I greet you. But it's one of his team is there, and he says, help them work it out. So he's not writing into a vacuum, but he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And there is that declaration, there is that commandment in that situation to rejoice. Now, one of the things that I appreciate about, well, all the Bible writers, really, how many of you know that the Bible is the most real-to-life book there is on the planet? We look at the life of David, who was after God's own heart, and yet we see the good, the bad, and the ugly. We see it in the Psalms. We see it in the life of Moses. We see it in the life of Abraham, who told his wife to pretend he was his sister so they didn't kill him because she was so beautiful. What a man of God. You and I have all seen those pictures of the saints of God, whether Old Testament or New Testament, with the big halo over their head. It was not there. No, it was not there. They were just normal, just like you and me. And the reality is that we need to understand that. And Paul is writing here, and the command, we could say it that way, to rejoice in the Lord always, which is pretty much all the time, to rejoice in the Lord always. Not once does he say it, but twice. But he doesn't just leave it there. He addresses the realities of life. There isn't a person in this room who can't rejoice in the good times. But what about the times that are difficult? What about the times that cause us anxiousness? What about the times that cause us worry? What about the times that bring a heaviness on us? When we preach, we've always need to be careful to preach formulas, because how many of you found life is not a formula?
That's right.
And your personality is not a formula. And so what works for one person, you know, doesn't necessarily work for another. But the reality is, there are keys. And so the Apostle Paul gives some keys here, I believe, to staying in a place to where we can rejoice. And one of the biggest keys he gives is the source of joy. Helping us understand and keep in mind, what is the source of joy? We have a prayer meeting here on Thursday mornings, which you are all welcome to come to. It's open. We pray for Living Waters Church. We start soaking at 9:30 and soak for a while in his presence. And then we pray. So this Thursday I came in and I was admiring this picture. And it was sitting up against the pulpit where it just was, but it was sitting like this. And, you know, I admired it. And when we then gathered up front to pray, one of the prayer warriors who was bothered by that picture being wrong, because she knew what was right, I thought it was pretty cool. Well, it's a river. But she came up and she turned it upright, the way it was meant by the artist to be. All too often, we want our joy to be like this. We want the river and the flow of the joy of life to come on the horizontal. We want a river. Oh. And there are times it does. I get tremendous joy from my wife most of the time. We had the privilege of having our grandkids for most of this week with us. Brian and Renee are in Reading at a Lamb conference getting further equipping. And we find tremendous joy in our grandchildren most of the time. But what do we do when the joy isn't coming from the left or the right? When the source of joy is not coming from the horizontal? We need to know that the real source of joy comes from above. And it is rejoice. Notice he says rejoice in the Lord. Always. And there's, if nothing else, we can always rejoice in the Lord. If nothing else, we can always rejoice in the love of God that was sang about this morning. If nothing else, it's in your text we read this morning. If nothing else, we can rejoice that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on. If there's no other reason than that, I told you last time I preached this message, you are unkillable. You're going to live forever. Your lamb, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if for no other reason, and I realize there, we're going to talk about, because I know life happens, and we can have this attitude of, well, yeah, that's easy to say, joy, 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 but my life sucks. We'll talk about that in a minute. Because it is true. We all have those days and we have those seasons and we have those times when it's just not easy, and it's not easy to be joyful. But I tell you this, if we will learn some of the secrets and the keys to cultivating joy in the difficult times, the joy in the good times will be so much sweeter, and we can develop a habit of putting on joy. Just putting it on. Fake it till you make it. Oh, you're just putting on. Yeah. What's the alternative? If I feel crabby, I want to be crabby. Well, have at it. But do it over there. No, I mean way over there. And I want to say right up front, a disclaimer, I want to say right up front, you have every right to be crabby if you want to. You do. You really do. And by the way, please understand, I understand crabby. I do. I do. But I'm learning and I'm realizing I don't have to be crabby. I can be joyful no matter what's going on. And I can put on joy just like I can put on kindness, just like I can put on tenderness, just like I can put on Christ. I can put on joy and I can be joyful. And am I faking it? Maybe for the first 10 seconds, but the reality is spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well. There's a well inside of me and it isn't about me and it isn't about my circumstances. It's about my relationship with my God. And if I will just look to the hills from whence cometh my salvation, there is something that begins to bubble up from within me, because it is a fruit of the Spirit, capital S, and it's resident within me. It's not out there in the ethereal somewhere. Oh, I found joy. No, I carry it with me. Spring up, O well, within my soul.
Amen.
The verse we used last time I preached on this, January 1st. With joy, you shall draw waters from the wells of salvation. With joy. And so the truth is that we have a source that is beyond ourselves and beyond our circumstances. But what do we do about our circumstances? Because the reality is our circumstances are our circumstances.
That's true. Yeah.
So what do we do? I believe there's some keys here in Paul's letter. Let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Remember, I talked just a few minutes ago. If Pastor Dave is in the room when you're tested to the max with a situation or another person, you're probably more likely to be on your best behavior. Because he's a pastor. But I'll tell you what, whether he's there or not, the Lord is at hand.
Come on.
What do we think? We think we're fooling the chief shepherd if the under shepherd ain't there? And we need to realize Jesus is very near. And it's not like he's going to strike us with lightning. It's not that at all, but just out of honor for he who is in the room, I move with some gentleness. Believe me, I know how to be ungentle. If I could be totally honest with you, that comes more automatic to me than gentleness used to. Doesn't anymore, by the grace of God. But gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit that we can choose to put on. And we can choose to cultivate, choose to make room for. Let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. If he writes, be anxious for nothing, obviously there are things in our life that can cause anxiousness. That we're just worry, just concern. There are those things. So what do we do? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I want to ask you a question. Do you invite God into every aspect of your life? Do you pray? And I don't mean do you have a prayer time, but I mean do you throughout your day just come up against whatever, a situation, a problem, a person, whatever it is, and invite God into the process? I'm just asking. What a friend we have in Jesus. The old hymn. And so often, in the words of that hymn, we forfeit opportunities to invite God into the situation. Do you know that more important than anything to God is relationship with you and I? Yeah. He wants to relate to us. He wants to connect with us. And he delights when we call on him, and it can be the smallest things. God has been teaching me to invite him into every little situation, even things on the job. As some of you know, I do maintenance in a building, and sometimes there's just stuff, and like, what is going on? Something's broke or something. Fell asleep one night trying to figure out a wiring situation where a breaker didn't seem to work. Woke up the next morning with the answer, oh, the wiring's crossed. The breaker for that unit on that stove is in the next unit. They're wired back to back. And the wires were crossed. I saw it. I woke up with a picture in my mind of the construction process and the two wires stubbed up and crossed. So the breaker for unit blah blah is in the next unit. It's got a kitchen back to back to it and vice versa. So simple. Not so simple to fix. But I couldn't figure out how this breaker I replaced. Anyway, you had to be there. But God made it so simple. He delights in answering our prayers. He wants to be invited into every aspect of our life. See, when we come up against things that cause us to be anxious and those things that would rob our joy, one of the things, it's an opportunity for God to be God and for me to co-labor with him in a situation, no matter what it is, no matter how little it is or how big it is. My dad and I are going to work this out together, and all things are working together for good because I love God and I'm called according to his purpose. And so it's an opportunity for me and him to put our heads together and to put our hearts together and to spend time together and work it out together. He wants to be invited into every aspect of our lives, every problem, every situation. Why? Because he loves us. And he likes spending time with us. So that's prayer, that's supplication, that's communication with him. It doesn't have to look religious. It doesn't have to look holy. It's just in the flow of our day. I believe that's in part what Paul meant by pray without ceasing. Be in constant dialogue with God and connection with him. Doesn't always have to be verbal. But it's an awareness of God. Let me read you a portion of Scripture. Daryl, you don't have this, so don't let it freak you out. I didn't give it to you, is what I meant. Because the Lord gave it to me. Just me. All alone, just me. But I'm going to share it with you. Because that's what brothers do. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, Paul is writing. How many of you know Paul did not have a bed of roses life? The Apostle Paul. And so he's been, in this whole section, he's been writing about some of the things that have come against him and some of the challenges. And he says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. We need to understand, and the older I get, the more I understand this, because I know I'm closer to the grave. My life, your life, is more about the inward person than it is the outward person. In fact, God does not, and we tend to focus, and we've talked about this before, we tend to focus on present and past. God doesn't. He focuses on present and future.
Yep.
And he's always working the eternal angle. Because he knows that you're eternal. And he knows you're going to be around a while. So he's working within us with eternity in mind. We sometimes assume that God is working within us within this year in mind. No, it's a little longer than that. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Can you fix your eyes on the unseen things? Can you fix your eyes on heavens rather than on the things of the earth? Many times in those difficulties, God is challenging us to enter into his vision of for us. And get our eyes off our vision of ourselves. And to recognize that he is working all things together for good. Because I love him. And because I'm called according to his purpose. That's something to be joyful about right there. Many of you know we manage Marcy manages an apartment complex for 55 plus. Most of them are much older than 55, including us. And we do a church service there. And I'll remind you of the same thing I remind them. You're dying. You can't say that. Yeah, I do. I say it to old people. I'm not much different there than I am here. We just go a little shorter. No, but it's a reality, and sometimes we're so hanging on to the outward life and forgetting about the inward life and the person that I am and my relationship with him that is going to be eternal. And God is working within me something that's going to be around a while. I want the glory of God. Believe me, you're going to get it. You are. I mean, and it's going to be awesome, but it's being worked within you. We just read it. It's being worked within you. And yes, we'll taste flickers of it here on earth, but but heaven. And on those days when I can't get real excited about what's going on in my life today, I can get excited about what will be going on in my life 100 years from now. Oh, yeah. And not that I got to wait that long, but do you understand what I'm saying? There's an eternal perspective to your life and to mine, which is far more important. then what's going on in the temporary and in the seen realm, which is far less real and is only temporary? Where was I? It's important that we keep in mind. Let me read to you. Can you put that verse up from Habakkuk? This is just in the book of Habakkuk, is a hymn of sorts. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. And then it's to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. It was a song that he wrote. An ability to pull on joy when circumstances around may or may not be favorable for joy. You're looking at me funny. Verse 7. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. Do you know how powerful Thanksgiving is? Not the holiday. Not just the holiday. Thanksgiving is tremendously powerful in changing our perspective and in causing us to turn from being crabby to be joyful. Yes. Yes. Just to give God thanks for who he is, for what he has done, for what he is doing, seeing the invisible and thanking him for the things that we can't see as well as the things that we can see. Just thanking him. Tremendously powerful. Make Thanksgiving an important part of your prayer life, an important part of your dialogue with God. You lay down on your bed at night, thank you, Jesus. I'm here. Okay. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. When you and I invite the Creator of heaven and earth into our situation, whatever it is, through prayer, whenever we give him an invitation and we give it to him, there is a peace that can come. And it guards our hearts and it guards our minds. There is a very close connection between peace and joy. In fact, you'll see them very often together in the scripture. When the angels announced Jesus' birth, they proclaimed peace and they proclaimed joy. When Jesus left planet Earth before he went to the cross, his two things that he said, I'm leaving with you. I'm leaving my peace and I'm leaving you my joy. And they go together. And one of the secrets to protecting your joy is to protect your peace. Do not let things get under your skin. Protect your peace. Guard your peace. Now that doesn't, listen to me, that doesn't mean that everything going around you is peaceful. That's right. But how do I react to it? What choice do I make to stay in a steady place? Okay, this is not going to undo me. This is not going to undo me. This is not going to undo me. You're looking at me funny. I challenge you to put these keys into practice for the next month. And if you already are, do it a little bit more. But I challenge you to just consider the ability you have to choose peace. The ability that you have in any situation to choose joy. By the way, I want to define joy. It's not falling down laughing. That's just one expression of it. One of the biggest mistakes that we make in the body of Christ is that we feel that someone else's expression of something has to be just like mine or it's not valid. Can I say this just as nicely as I can? That's stupid. That is so silly. Joy can look in so many different ways, at so many different times, in so many different people. There is a quiet, peaceful joy that it's like Alka-Seltzer in a cup. It's just bubbling. So apparently it's not funny to put Alka-Seltzer in my mouth and pretend I'm manifesting a demon when I get baptized. That's what one kid said to another. But there is a joy that is bubbling, and it's just under the surface, and sometimes it leaks out, sometimes it doesn't. And we need to give each other liberty to and just be us and to express that joy, to express peace. People experience peace different and find it at different sources, enjoy it at different ways. And we need to give each other liberty for that. But protect your peace. Recognize that prayer invites in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. We're a part of a government and it's upon His shoulders. I encourage you, if you're all caught up and all bent out of shape with what's going on in our government, I encourage you to get your eyes off it. Amen. Yeah. Come on. And get your eyes on the government of all governments, the government that you're under, that your life. And that doesn't mean we don't pray, but it means we're just part of the process, but it's not part of us. And it doesn't eat us up. It doesn't bother us. Because I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I invite Him into my life and into my government, the government of this life. And of my household, of my family, of my church. And He's a good King. And He's a good Lord. And even if I don't see in times of prayer and thanksgiving, and I put all into practice and I don't see circumstances change, here's what I find. I change. And there's a peace that comes, and there's an authentic joy that comes. And it's real. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to ask you another question. What have you been thinking about? Jim and Hillary, by the way, if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to get the or listen to the message online. It's available at livingwatersmn.org. It's downloadable free. You can get on MP3 or all those formats. I don't know what they are, but I know they work. Excellent message they preached on our thought life. Takes us to verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, is there any virtue? Is there anything praiseworthy? Meditate on these things. What have you been meditating on? What have you been thinking about? I want to suggest the ability that we have to protect our peace and to put on peace and to put on joy has a lot to do with what we think about. One of the things that I do in my phone is if I find a scripture or a saying or something I really like, I take a screenshot of it and then I put it in an album that I entitled Bible Gum. Not bubble gum, Bible gum. And it's just, well, here's one right here. And it's in large print, so I don't need my glasses. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And I just chew on that a while. Meditate. That's what meditate is. Just focus on that for a while. You will keep me in perfect peace if I keep my mind stayed on you. It's true. See, in the same way that I can't look two directions at once, you can't think in two directions at once. Jim and Hillary talked last week about, you know, they use the balloons, just popping balloons, stomping on them to do away with negative thoughts. But I want to suggest that in order to fully get free of those thoughts, you need to turn what you're thinking about. Pop that sucker and then walk away. And what are you going to think on? What are you going to think about? Here's another one. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Oh, here's one. It's not a scripture, but it's scriptural. At some point, you just have to let go of what you thought should happen and live in what is happening. How many of you found that to be true? I mean, there are times when we contend for things, but the reality is when it's obvious that this is the way it's going to be for right now, I'm just going to put on peace and I'm just going to put on joy and I'm just going to dig into my Heavenly Father, press into Him, learn from Him, have Him help me walk through this, grow in it, and grow through it. See, the truth is, and we said this last time we talked, the truth is most of the fruit of the Spirit doesn't grow in greenhouse times. It grows in more difficult times. That's when we really grow. My ability to love grows when there's tension, not when everything is good. You mean there's tension? Yes. Of course. Like you never have tension with anybody. Liar, liar. Of course we do. We have things we work through. That's what makes the love so rich and so deep. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How do you do that? as Christ loved the church. You have him teach you how to do it. You draw on a source from other than yourself. It comes from above. That's how we forgive. How do you forgive some situations and some people? With the forgiveness with which you were forgiven? How do I love my enemies? With the love with which God loves you. So the comfort that I've received, I now give away. Whatever label it has on it. I want to encourage you this morning in your ability. Verse 9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul is putting into practice his message. Even as he writes this letter, he's in prison. And he's writing concerning joy. He's writing concerning peace. It's this Paul and his friend Silas who was in a jail cell and just had a raucous praise service that broke the cell doors open and jailer got saved, blah, blah, blah. Why? Choose joy over the circumstance. And we need to know that we can deliberately do it. Now, I realize that you may be here this morning, and this might actually be a painful message to listen to. Because your circumstances are not that joyful right now. And I want you to know that the things you're wrestling with are valid. And we never want a message like this to just make light or small of the stuff we're going through. We never can do that. We can't do that to one another. The church has done that far too often. But on the other hand, we do need to know that there is an answer. And there is a way in which we can begin to cast our confidence upon him. Because he cares for us. If you're here this morning and I know this takes a bit of honesty and vulnerability, but if you're here this morning and you're struggling with life, I'd like you to come forward. If this is a season where it's just really hard to be at peace and to walk in joy, I would like you to come forward for one simple reason, that we, the body of Christ, can gather around you and stand with you and join in the fight with you. Again, I know that takes some vulnerability on your part. This is a safe place. Anyone, please come forward. If that's you. If it's not, that's fine. But if it is, we don't want to make light. We want to stand with you. I don't want to single anyone out, but one of the things the Lord told me as I was praying earlier in the week is he's going to break depression this morning. And I'm not implying that everyone that came forward is wrestling with depression, but for those who are, he's going to break it this morning by the power of the Spirit. I'd like you to, those of you who come forward, to just pray a simple prayer that I'm going to lead you in, and just so you know where we're going, so you can pray it with confidence. We're just going to, with our voice, choose joy and choose peace. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we choose joy. We choose to partner with peace. Let that happen. We put on joy.
We put on joy.
And we put on peace.
And we put on peace.